Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on recordings. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful March 30th, 2019. This is lesson 274, part 2 review of chapter 59, entitled Priestly Plotting, and this is part 2. Our opening song is a scripture song from the book of Jude. This is the scripture song of the theme of our study in verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with a seething joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion ripple, but now and forever. Amen. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to be grateful for everything you... With the willingness to be able to wake us up this morning. Let us be grateful for everything you've done for us both yesterday and today. We pray also that you may be able to let us overcome some of the things you may hear. Also, we pray that you may be able to be with us as we begin in the Sabbath and the Sabbath studies. We pray that we may be inspired and keep on learning of these things and keep on open may these people who haven't known you yet learn of thee. Let us be able to keep on cherishing every lesson that you learn and remember. Let us be able to keep on to use it wisely when we're on the outside. And I pray that you may be with our brethren who are all scattered in the other parts of the world, so let them be able to be safe and sound, and even if there are trials those around there that might get in the way of their work and stuff. We pray also that you may be able to bless us. Let us be able to keep on keeping the Sabbath holy and keep on following the commandments, and also keep on being courageous and never be afraid that you're all, since we know that you're always there to guide us. We love you, Lord God. Looking forward to being in the land you promises. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's holy name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening verse for our review lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. From the King James Version, we leave it as a memory verse, but we also have it in song. And to keep it more fresh in our minds, to be able to walk with it, we'll be able to share it in song. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and Let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. In keeping that in mind, dear ones, what have we learned in ways we have grown this week? Before we have your question, comments, and anything that you would like to share with the family in the room, for those that are listening, let's read our first part of Priestly Plotting, part 2 of our study book, Desire of Ages. Anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, you can unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 539. In this council assembled to plan the death of Christ, the witness was present, who heard the boastful words of Nebuchadnezzar, who witnessed the idolatrous beast and the feast of Belshazzar, who was present when Christ in Nazareth announced himself the anointed one. This witness was now impressing the rulers with the work they were doing. Events in the life of Christ rose up before them with a distinctness that alarmed them. Next slide, please. They remember the scene in the temple when Jesus, then a child of 12, stood before the learned doctors of the law, asking them questions at which they wondered. The miracle just performed bore witness that Jesus was none other than the Son of God. In their true significance, the Old Testament. In their true significance, the Old Testament scriptures regarding Christ flashed before their minds. Perplexed and troubled, the rulers asked, "What do we?" There was a division in the council. Under the impression of the Holy Spirit, the priests and rulers could not banish the conviction that they were fighting against God.
Desire of Ages, page 539. While the council was at the height of its perplexity, Caiaphas, the high priest, arose. Caiaphas was a proud and cruel man, overbearing and intolerant. Among his family connections were Sadducees, proud, bold, reckless, full of ambition and cruelty, which they hid under a cloak of pretended righteousness. Caiaphas had studied the prophecies, and although ignorant of their true meaning, he spoke with great authority and assurance. Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Even if Jesus were innocent, urged the high priest, he must be put out of the way. He was troublesome, drawing the people to himself and lessening the authority of the rulers. He was only one. It was better that he should die than the authority of the rulers should be weakened. If the people were to lose confidence in their rulers, the national power would be destroyed.
Caiaphas
urged that after the miracle, the followers of Jesus will revolt, then come, he said, and will close our temple in laws, as a nation that what is the life of his
Comparison
with the life of the nation. God is served to move him better that one man
perish.
In declaring that one man should die for the nation, Caiaphas indicated that he had some knowledge of the prophecies, although it was very limited, but John in his account of the scene takes up the prophecy, and it shows its broad and deep significance. He says, "And not for the nation only, but that also I gathered together and won the children of God that were scattered abroad. How blindly did the haughty Caiaphas acknowledge the Savior's mission."
Desire of Ages, page 540. On the lips of Caiaphas, this most precious truth was turned into a lie. The policy he advocated was based on a principle borrowed from the heathenism. Among the heathen, the dim consciousness that one will to die for the human race had led to the offering of human sacrifices. Okay, dear Ryan, they can hear you. Okay? Okay. So Caiaphas proposed by the sacrifice of Jesus to save the guilty nation, not from transgression, but in transgression, that they might continue in sin. And by his reasoning, he thought to silence the remonstrances of those who might dare to say that as yet nothing worthy of death had been. Are you able to scroll it up, or is it the next page?
Look. The word is remonstrance.
I can't see the last sentence.
The last sentence, Devon, found in Jesus, Desire of Ages by 540.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, dear sister. We are continuing. We are in Desire of Ages, page 540. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the next paragraph, unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 540. At this council, Christ's enemies had been deeply convicted. The Holy Spirit had impressed their minds, but Satan strove to gain control of them. He urged upon their notice the grievances they had suffered on account of Christ, how little he had honored their righteousness. He presented a righteousness far greater, which all who would be children of God must possess, taking notice of their forms and ceremonies. He had encouraged sinners to go directly to God as a merciful father and make known their wants. Thus, in their opinion, he had set aside the priesthood. He had refused to acknowledge the theology of the rabbinical schools. He had exposed the evil practices of the priests and irreparably hurt their influence. He had injured the effect of their maxims and traditions, declaring that though they strictly enforced the ritual law, they made void the law of God. All this Satan now brought to their minds. Desire of Ages, page 540, paragraph 3. On the top slide, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:16.
Amen. Good job, everyone. I think Jeremiah is ready to read. Let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And with that in mind, dear ones, we are going to open that any one of the dear family, little ones, mommies, daddies, our guests, would like to ask any question, give any comment, share what it is that the Lord has place in their heart for the study that we just, or even the first one. This is actually part two. If there's anything that you would like to share, what have we learned and ways we have grown, now you can be able to open your mic, dear ones, and share your thoughts.
Question, was Caiaphas like the head of over all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the priests who wanted to take Christ's life?
His office, he was a high priest in the temple. And the question is, all of them had looked upon him on the next chapter that we're going to have, it's going to describe the way how they used to honor him. They basically had him as, if he speak, it was like it was coming from God, which you know that many of them had actually submitted himself for every thought and idea that he did share with the priest. Meanwhile, that we are all waiting for the dear Virgin to share their thoughts on their question, if you notice, same history repeats itself. Today, the head of the Roman Empire is considered someone that they treated the same way how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all that was under the observation and care of the high priest. They do the same thing today. They look at the Pope in the same manner, and it has, as every word that he uttered, they have it as being that it's God. Because in their religion, they have him as the vicar of Christ, which everything that he shares with them is considered as if God was speaking to him and he was relating to them. So it's the same practice right now with the different religions. They have different heads in different religion, and they take their words and they take their thoughts as if it was speaking to God. And we already know that the only high priest we have is Christ Jesus, which is mediating the most holy place. Okay, we have, just give me a few seconds to see if I miss anyone. Okay, our dear sister, Cilicia, we know that no one comes unto the Son unless the Father draws them to him. Amen. The Pharisees and Sadducees were learned men, but yet still so blind was their hearts already closed. Why they didn't believe Christ to be the Son of God? So the question in that statement is, was their hearts already closed? Why they didn't believe Christ to be the Son of God? As we seen in the reading, it then mentioned how that the Holy Spirit was impressing all the evidence, not only in the scripture, but they also had the manifestation of how he walked among them and what did he do. The question is, it wasn't that they didn't understand. They understood, but they fear of losing the control of the people and how they was going to be seen in the eyes of the people because of the righteous life of Christ. To me, this is where the rejection had came about. Any of the dear brethren would like to be able to answer the question as well. You can unmute your mic.
I think that Sadducees and Pharisees were very proud of, or because they were Jews. Christ came from a region, Galilee, and this region was very, or had a bad reputation in Israel. So when Christ said that he was the Son of God, they were very surprised, because even Nazareth, the Christ hometown, was very famous about the sins, the bad things that occurred there. So they thought, why our Redeemer is going to be from that place, that so bad place? Because, or why not is our Redeemer come from a noble family, such as the Caiaphas family or another noble family, according to their thoughts. So they were very proud of their blood, perhaps. We are descendants of a famous priest, such as Aaron and other people in the past. And why a simple man, cabinet maker that did any studies in our schools is going to be the son of God. So I think they had some prejudice against Christ, and for that reason they didn't accept him.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Santiago. Our dear sister also have another question. How then can they say that they love God, being they wanted to control people and the people that is not the way of the Lord? Very true, dear sister. But when you have the spirit of, as the dear brother had shared, pride, prejudice, any other spirit contrary to God's spirit, if you notice, they became so blinded that now greed, power, and all the different aspects that Satan has in spirit, they begin to express. So it's not really, how you say, difficult to know that why they could have done it. Today it's the same thing. A lot of people are very much afraid that the people in their congregation will get to know the truth and follow Jesus. If many have the courage to study for themselves and to follow Jesus, they will lose a lot of their parishioners. And here comes the greed and all the things that they benefit by the people. So it's the same circumstances then as it is now. And yeah, they were very prejudiced, knowing the humble beginning and the representation that Jesus stood, rebuking the way how they were in the outer garment. The example that he gave brought not only hatred, but also great prejudice against them. There is another comment. It says, it just goes to show that we can't just blindly follow any man. We have to study for ourselves and choose Christ for ourselves. Until we do this, we are just blindly walking. And I agree. Amen. Is there any other question, comments? You can unmute your mic, dear ones. Also, our dear brother Dick said, once they set their minds against him, it was impossible to accept him later. So true, dear brother. So true indeed. Meanwhile, the dear family is gathering their thoughts or their questions. If you have any scripture song, hymns, or any one of the brethren would like to share, you can be able to do so. I'm Bubble. Sorry, not Bubble anymore. Unmute your mic. Sorry, dear ones. And also, let it be light. There's a comment. It says, cursed be the man that make flesh his arm. Here is the principle and the promise. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 from the King James Version. Thank you so much, dear one. Any thoughts, any poem, dear ones, that you would like to share? And meanwhile, you're gathering your thoughts and what you would like to share with the dear remnant family. I also found another poem, and it's entitled, I Will Never Leave Thee Nor Forsake Thee. This was taken from Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 10, 1857, October 15, 1857, from Uriah Smith, resident editor. If anyone would like to be able to share, the dear family can be able to take each section to be able to share among one another. So unmute your mic, dear ones.
I will never, never leave thee. I will never thee forsake. I will guide and save and keep thee for my name and my mercy's sake. Fear no evil. Only all my counsels take.
When the storm is raging around thee, call on me in humble prayer. I will fold my arms about thee, guard thee with the tenderest care. In the trial, I will make thy pathway clear.
When the sky above is glowing, and around thee all is bright, pleasure like a river flowing, all things tending to delight. I'll be with thee. I will guide thy steps aright.
And I saw it was dark and clouded with doubt and grief and care. Through the mist by which 'tis shrouded, I will make a light appear, and the banner of my love I will uprear.
Thou mayst leave my care and keeping, thou mayst wander far from me. Sorrow, then, and woe, and weeping, mercy must meet out to thee. To the righteous, my rich blessings all are free.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I really believe that not only is a beautiful poem, but it's a promise from our Savior. In any circumstances that we're in, when we witness to other people, when we among our trials and tribulations, just remember that our Father's care is upon each and every one of His children. Let us continue, dear ones. If there's any testimony, everyone has a story. I have one, but it's going to take a little bit longer, so I will keep it until the end, because I did have to serve my jury duty on March 25, and there was something that happened that I would like to share with everyone, so I'm going to leave mine for after the sermons. Dear ones, we have come also to the section where our dear Dick also have the opportunity to ask questions for their stories, time section. So unmute your mic, dear ones.
All right, boys and girls, if you have any questions, put them in the chat room and I'll try to go back after the story and read them and try and answer them. Maybe I'll ask somebody else to answer them. Okay, we're reviewing our story of last week, To Trust Him. The fear of, or trust in, man bringeth a snare, a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29:25. The Lord desires you to be of good courage. Brace up, or be strong in the Lord. Satan is working on every hand to destroy faith and to make people unhappy. Now, you don't want to be unhappy, because the Lord only gives happiness, right? Right. If you are not experienced in discerning the devices of Satan, your only safety is in prayer. If you don't know what the word devices means, it means tricks of Satan. And you need to pray and ask the Lord to help you recognize them. Lay open all the secrets of your heart to the search of the infinite eye. That's God's eye. And plead with God to make you pure and strong and to arm you or prepare you completely for the great conflict of life. Faith grows by conflicts with doubt. Virtue gathers strength by the resistance of temptation. When you get tempted, you say no. All blessings are bestowed upon or given to those who have a vital connection with Jesus Christ. A vital connection. You pray or talk to Him and read His Word every day. That's the way we communicate with Jesus. Jesus calls them, those who pray to Him every day, Himself, not simply to refresh us with His grace and presence for a few hours, like on Sabbath, but then to send us forth from His light to walk apart from Him in sadness and gloom. No, no. He tells us that we must abide with Him and be with us. That means we are to pray daily and to read our Bibles and our spirit of prophecy. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. Wherever His work is to be, He is present, tender, loving, and compassionate, or pitiful. He has prepared for you and me an abiding dwelling place in Himself. An abiding dwelling place is the place we go to pray to Him. Some people call it a closet. It could be any place where you can be alone and talk to the Lord. He is our refuge, that's like a place of protection. Our experience should broaden and deepen. That means that with time we will get to know him better. When you talk to someone, don't you get to know them better? It works the same way with Jesus. Jesus has opened all the divine fullness of his inexpressible love. He shows us how much he loved us by dying on the cross for us. Talk courage, talk faith, talk hope. My little brothers and sisters in the Lord, be of good courage. Oh, how little we know what is before us. We will give ourselves entirely to Jesus to be wholly or completely his, and then say, not my will, but thy will, O God, be done. You have the tender love and compassion of your Savior. Look to him always. Trust in him continually and doubt not his love. He knows all our weaknesses and that which we need. He will give us grace sufficient or enough divine help for our day. Only look to Jesus continually and be of good courage. In genuine faith, that's real faith, there is a buoyancy. Buoyancy means it will float like a boat. A rock won't float unless it's pumice. No buoyancy in the rocks and they'll sink. If we have genuine faith, we won't sink in sin. In genuine faith, there is a buoyancy, a steadfast principle or strict obedience to the law of God, which neither time nor toil, hard work, can deepen or weaken, excuse me. That's Sons and Daughters of God, page 191. And our first verse again is, the fear or trust of man breath a snare, and a snare is a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let me dispose of that page. Oh, I made a change, so I'll save it. Okay, let's see. Now we're back to the chat room. Well, I don't know what happened. I was going to see if there was any questions. I guess Rose determined there wasn't. So thank you for listening. Back to our leader.
If anyone have any questions from the section of the story time, please, dear ones, unmute your mic. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our review. We still have an opportunity to continue on asking any questions in the youth study, if you have any. So next week, we will continue with part 3 of our chapter entitled Priestly Pattern in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, or mommies or daddies, or our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic.
Can we all bow down and kneel? Father in heaven, thank you for bringing all of us here together on this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for the beautiful day of rest that you have set upon all of us, for giving us this opportunity to learn to enlighten our hearts and our minds. We all thank you for giving us this chance and for guiding us in our walk through everyday life. And I pray that you'll help us continue to see the path that you see us walking on to get to where you are. And I pray that we'll continue to have our eyes open and our hearts open so that we may accept this knowledge. And I pray that you'll also help us pull away from the temptations of sin, and that you'll help us learn with each passing moment that what we ought to do, even in the darkest times for all of us. We pray for your ongoing guidance and your protection over us. We thank you so much, Lord, for being a presence in our lives, for helping us get here in the first place. And I pray that you'll continue to shine that light for us, especially in the moments that we get lost. Thank you for being there for us, Lord, always, no matter where we are in the world, and for always giving us this chance. Thank you, Lord. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, Savior, and our King. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Blue. What a beautiful prayer, dear ones. And we are so glad that you're here among us as well. So next Sabbath, dear ones, is lesson 275, chapter 59, Priestly Platinum, part 3, and that will be held April 6, 2019. Our closing song is the same opening song, but this is a rendition that is in Spanish, and Capítulo 10. Versículo 24, 25. This is our promise that the Lord had given us. Y aquel que es poderoso para guardaros sin caída y presentaros sin mancha delante de su gloria con gran alegría. Al único y sabio Dios, nuestro Salvador, sea gloria y majestad, imperior y potencia, ahora y por todos los siglos. Amen. And dear ones, have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath.